Welcome back to SpaceX Daily, everyone. Today we're diving into the world of space-based broadband with a company aiming to rival Starlink, but with a twist. Joining me is Neil Spacecraft, our resident expert on all things space tech. Neil, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here, Ashley. Always exciting times in the space industry.
Absolutely. So AST SpaceMobile, they've been making headlines recently with the launch of their first 5 operational satellites. What's the big deal about this company, and why should investors care, especially before November 1st?
Right, so AST SpaceMobile is trying to solve a major problem, providing broadband and cellular service to everyone, everywhere. And they're doing it not with clunky ground stations like Starlink, but through your everyday cell phone. That's their game changer.
That's a huge market. I mean, think about the potential customer base. But they're going up against Starlink, which already has a significant head start. Can AST SpaceMobile realistically compete?
It's a David versus Goliath scenario, no doubt. Starlink's infrastructure is impressive, but AST SpaceMobile's technology is potentially more accessible. No need for specialized equipment means a lower barrier to entry for consumers. The key here is partnerships. AST SpaceMobile is collaborating with giants like AT&T and Verizon. These partnerships could be crucial for customer acquisition and funding their ambitious satellite network expansion.
Interesting. So it sounds like the November 1st deadline is significant. What are we expecting from their Q3 report? Should investors be expecting profits already?
Profitability is still a long way off. They need at least 95 satellites for their full service, and they've just launched 5. This report is about progress, not profit. Investors want to see those satellites functioning as planned, successful testing, and a timeline for revenue generation. Even if it's small scale initially, a clear roadmap is crucial.
Speaking of regulation, let's shift gears to a story about Starlink facing a different kind of challenge in Mali. Neil, catch us up on this one.
Sure, Ashley. Mali's military junta, after initially banning Starlink back in March over concerns of its potential use by armed groups, has now lifted the ban. Seems like they've had a change of heart, but with a catch. They're allowing it for a 6-month trial period to establish a regulatory framework and user registration platform.
So basically a try before you fully commit situation. But why the initial ban and this sudden shift? It seems a bit like a policy roller coaster.
The initial concern was valid. Mali's grappling with various armed groups and Starlink's ability to provide internet access in remote areas, even those with disrupted infrastructure, could be exploited. The ban was an attempt to prevent that. However, the reality is, Starlink kits were already in circulation, and shutting it down completely might have been more disruptive. This trial period seems like a pragmatic approach. They can assess the risks and benefits while figuring out how to control its use.
It'll be interesting to see how they balance security concerns with the need for connectivity. Especially in a country like Mali, where internet penetration is relatively low. It's a delicate tightrope walk. Well, from a potential regulatory battleground to a luxurious escape, let's talk about Vast Haven 1, Neil. Wood paneling in space? It sounds like someone's trying to outdo a certain terrestrial billionaire with their space ambitions.
Indeed, Ashley. It seems Vast is aiming for a more, shall we say, boutique hotel vibe than the Spartan functionality we're used to seeing in spacecraft interiors. Maple wood, puffy space duvets, it's a bold design choice.
It's certainly a far cry from the cold metallic aesthetic of the ISS. But is this just about aesthetics, or is there a psychological element at play here? Could this focus on comfort be key to longer duration space habitation?
That's a crucial point, Ashley. Remember, Vast is talking about long-term missions, even permanent habitation. If we're going to have people living in space, not just visiting, psychological well-being becomes paramount. A touch of home, the warmth of wood instead of sterile metal, could make a world of difference.
And it seems Jed McCaleb, Vast's founder, is drawing inspiration from another space-obsessed billionaire with his vision of humanity expanding beyond Earth.
Absolutely. The rhetoric about finite resources, the need for a new frontier, echoes quite strongly. Whether McCaleb can replicate the success of certain other ventures remains to be seen, but the ambition is certainly there.
It's interesting that they've tapped Hillary Koh, with her background at SpaceX, Starlink, even Apple, to lead the design charge. It suggests they're serious about merging aesthetics with functionality.
No doubt. Co's experience with user-centered design at companies like Apple will be invaluable. In a confined, isolated environment like a space station, every design element, from the texture of the walls to the pressure of the duvet, plays a role in the overall experience and psychological well-being of the inhabitants.
Speaking of SpaceX alumni, there's an interesting development in the VC world. Word on the street is that a firm called Interlagos is looking to raise a hefty sum for its first deep tech fund.
That's right, Ashley. And we're not talking about a small chunk of change here. They're aiming for a whopping $550 million, which is pretty ambitious, especially for a first-time fund.
Ambitious is an understatement. What's even more intriguing is the team behind it. We're talking about former SpaceX heavy hitters, including Achalal Upadhyaya and Tom Occhionero. These aren't just financiers. They've got the engineering chops and the insider perspective on what it takes to build a successful deep tech company.
Exactly. And that's a huge draw for potential investors. They're not just buying into an investment thesis. They're buying into the experience and track record of this team. Upadhyaya, in particular, has a pretty impressive portfolio of angel and VC investments in deep tech.
It's interesting that they're casting such a wide net with their investment thesis, targeting everything from space and robotics to AI and biotech. It suggests a belief that the next wave of innovation will come from these sectors.
And they're not alone. We've seen a surge of interest in deep tech from VCs in recent years. These are areas with the potential to solve some of the world's biggest challenges, but they also require significant upfront capital and have longer timelines to exit. It takes a certain kind of investor, one with patience and a high risk tolerance, to play in this space.
Speaking of ambitious timelines, let's pivot to our next story. Elon Musk has announced SpaceX's plan to send not one, but 5 uncrewed starships to Mars by 2026. Neil, what's your take on this bold claim?
Well, Ashley, it's classic Elon, isn't it? Always aiming for the stars, literally in this case. While it's an exciting prospect, we have to remember his track record of, let's say, optimistic timelines. Remember the 2024 Mars mission promise?
Right, which has now morphed into crewed missions potentially happening in the 2028-29 launch window, if everything goes perfectly with the uncrewed tests. That's a big if, considering Starship hasn't even landed on solid ground yet, let alone another planet.
Exactly. And let's not forget the technical complexities. A successful Mars mission involves far more than just launching a rocket. We're talking about ensuring safe landing, resource utilization, and ultimately, a sustainable presence. These are monumental challenges, even for a company as innovative as SpaceX.
Musk did acknowledge the bureaucratic hurdles, even blaming stifling red tape for launch delays. He seems to be suggesting that regulatory processes are hindering SpaceX's progress.
It's a common tension between innovation and regulation. While streamlining processes can certainly foster progress, safety and environmental concerns can't be ignored. It's a delicate balancing act, and both sides have valid points.
And it's not just the Mars missions facing delays. The Artemis 3 mission, which relies on Starship, has also been pushed back to 2026. It seems like SpaceX is juggling a lot right now, with varying degrees of success.
Indeed. The sheer ambition of their projects is commendable, but it's also important to manage expectations. Developing and launching multiple complex missions simultaneously is a Herculean task. It will be interesting to see how they prioritize and adapt their timelines moving forward.
Speaking of ambitious projects, let's shift gears to another space race, this time in low Earth orbit. Neil, China's been making headlines with its own constellation of communication satellites. What's the story there?
It's a clear sign that China is aiming to challenge SpaceX's dominance in the LEO internet market. They've been steadily launching these Long March rockets, each carrying a significant number of satellites. While they're still behind Starlink in terms of sheer numbers, the pace of their launches is definitely noteworthy.
It's interesting you mentioned the numbers game. Is it simply about quantity, or are there other factors at play in this competition?
It's more nuanced than just quantity. Coverage, bandwidth, and latency are all crucial factors in providing reliable internet service. Starlink has a head start and has been focusing on providing service to underserved areas, which gives them a strategic advantage. However, China's vast resources and government backing could potentially shift the landscape.
So it's a classic case of a new player emerging with the potential to disrupt the existing market. What does this mean for the future of Leo and the internet as a whole?
It's still early to say definitively, but increased competition could lead to faster innovation, lower prices, and wider accessibility. However, it also raises concerns about space debris, signal interference, and even national security. The international community needs to establish clear guidelines and regulations for this rapidly evolving domain.
Absolutely. As we've discussed throughout this episode, the final frontier is becoming increasingly crowded, both with opportunities and challenges. It's a fascinating time to be following the developments in space exploration and technology. That's all the time we have for today's SpaceX Daily. Thanks for joining us, Neil, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.